Beautiful. So today we have another guest on the Becoming Cosmic for You podcast. So over to you, Quincy. Let us know who you are and what you do.
Well, thank you so much for having me. My name is Quincy Wharf, and I am a personal development coach as well as a recovery coach. I help people, get to the higher part of themselves so that they can live the life that they were meant to live. And been doing it for a long time. I live in Los Angeles. I've always lived in Los Angeles, but currently I'm actually in the Dominican Republic.
Wow.
Yeah, I brought a group of people here for a vacation, and it's another thing that I do. And just enjoying being in the sunshine and the warm weather. So
Yeah.
it's probably pretty cold where you are, right?
Oh yeah, it's quite sunny today actually, but yeah, it's still cold. I've had like a scarf on most of the day in the house with the heating on. So yeah.
That's cold. That's definitely
Pretty
cold.
cold in the UK, yeah. Usually cold or rainy, but we don't complain too much. Oh,
Right.
beautiful. So how did you get into this, Quincy? Was this a path that you went through yourself, or how did you get onto this path?
It was a path that I came to reluctantly, actually. Like I struggled with addiction as a teenager, and was not it was very clear from a very early age that I was allergic to my reaction to drugs and alcohol. And unfortunately, I had to wait until I got into a tremendous amount of trouble with myself to decide not to do that anymore. And when I got sober, I realized that what I was avoiding by doing drugs and alcohol in the first time was finding out who I was, or being okay with who I was, or even wanting to understand who I was. And I went through, a lot of pain, a lot of trials, and tribulations, made a lot of mistakes, went to a lot of therapy, did a lot of different things to try to figure out how to resolve my pain and my trauma and my issues. And in that journey, found the most freedom in really helping other people also recover from their own trauma and their own trials and tribulations. And the more I helped people, actually, the better I ended up getting. So I actually never really wanted to be this kind in this career, but it is the thing that really meshes the best with what my skill set is and what my wisdom is about. And it's a journey that all of us take, hopefully, at some point or another. I figure the more pain you have in your life, the more your life is trying to tell you something. That's been my experience anyway. And so I like to help people figure out what their pain's about and help them reframe it and look at it in a different way, and see what it is that they're supposed to grow from that particular situation.
I love that. I've had just a few camera malfunctions because my cat, as always, just wants to get in on it. So,
Of course, they can't stand to not be the center of attention, those
I
little
know.
things.
Yeah, exactly. I've got two black cats and they always like being on camera. It's hilarious. That's
That's funny.
beautiful. I know. I love how you've almost gone through this journey yourself. They've shown me this vision of you like walking on hot coals in order to get to where you are now.
Yes, pretty much. Everything that I've gone through, or most of the time, everything that I help people with is usually a journey I've taken myself. I find that those are the people that I attract. And because I've been through it, I have a unique understanding about how to see things in a different light because of the work I've done myself. That was always my problem as a kid, or as even a young adult, going to therapists who I would talk to them about trauma, or I would talk to them about stuff that was going on with me. They had no personal experience with what I was talking about. And so it was really hard to connect with them, or really hard to feel like they understood what I was talking about, which made it ineffective for me. And so when I would run into people who actually have experienced the same things I have, or who've gone through things that I've gone through and grown past them, those are the people that I wanted to talk to. And those were the people that I always grew the most from. And so now I'm available to be that person for other people. And because they think that it's important that whatever we get, we pay back, you know, or else we don't get to hold on to it for very long. So.
Yeah, no, I agree. I totally agree with that. It's beautiful. One of the things that you said in your questionnaire that caught my eye was to one of your personal visions for the world is to live in a world with less fear. I'd love for you to talk into that if you would.
Well, I think that you know, we are not a society that really talks about how we feel or talks about the problem beneath the problem, right? We talk about the symptoms of the problem, but we don't talk about the problem beneath the problem. And, you know, one of the examples of that is there's a tremendous amount of fear in people right now because of what's happening in the world politically or what's happening in the world, you know, economically. And we don't address the fear issue that's going on with people and that they're behaving in a certain way or that they're, you know, reacting in a certain way because of the fear. We just all of a sudden see, well, there's, you know, a drug epidemic. Well, there's a drug epidemic for a reason, right? Like everybody's not just taking drugs because, you know, they have nothing better to do. Most of the time, people take drugs in the beginning to either avoid how they're feeling, you know, change how they're feeling, because they don't have the tools to deal with it or they don't want to deal with it, right? And then drugs and alcohol becomes a solution for them, right? And or shopping becomes a solution for them, or sex becomes a solution, or there's, I mean, work becomes a solution. Like we use things outside of ourselves to avoid dealing with what's actually happening within ourselves. And if people in general, and this was my experience as well, if people in general could learn, you know, tools, if we could talk more about tools, about how to deal with fear, how to recognize when fear is showing up in your life. You know, people could then make different choices based on the information that they have and, you know, and stop hurting each other, right? Hurt people hurt people, right? That's a saying, you know, that you hear in therapy circles all the time. But it's also scared people scare other people, right? And when I'm in a place of fear and I'm making decisions out of fear or I'm reacting to somebody out of fear, it's almost never a good reaction. It's almost never positive, and it's almost always more destructive than it needs to be, right? But if I learned how to deal with the fear or the anxiety or the overwhelming thoughts and had different tools or recognition just within myself to be able to deal with it, then I don't spread that, right? You know, I don't spread it on the world. It's like when you sneeze, right? And if you sneeze and you don't put your hand in front of your face, you blow germs and your, you know, whatever all over the place, right? But if you know you're going to sneeze, you can turn your head or put your nose into your elbow or whatever it is, and all of a sudden you're not sharing whatever's going on inside of you with everybody else, right? And I think that that's important when we look at how people behave, or we look at what the symptoms are in the world of how people are responding to things. You know, there's something beneath what the actual behavior is, and we never really talk about what's underneath the actual behavior. We just go, oh, they're a drug addict, or oh, they're a thief, or you know, oh, they're angry and screaming and yelling, or whatever it is. We just look at the symptom, not the cause of the condition.
Yeah, I agree with that. And you know what? The other thing as well is that I think some addictions seem to attract more shame than others. And it's really bizarre how, you know, there's a real divide between, you know, people who have got drug addictions and have got money, and then people who are poor and have got drug addictions. Or, you know, I've
Absolutely.
interviewed quite a few people on this podcast who are seriously wealthy or have come from a lot of wealth, have got a lot of money. And they developed addictions with money, sorry, with shopping. So buying like cars, going shopping, and you know, it's funny how people may look at them and go, oh, you know, that's really hard for you. Woe is
Right.
you, you
Oh,
know.
you poor baby, you just bought a new Lamborghini, right? Yeah,
Yeah,
no,
exactly. But addiction is addiction is addiction, right? It's still the same. It's still the same mask, and you mentioned it as well, the mask of working. You see a lot of women in our industry, don't you, in the coaching industry, working like
Yes.
silly hours, hustling, 14 sales calls in a day. I saw someone advertise the other day, and four,
Oh
no,
God.
14 back-to-back sales calls in a day. And the amount of people
That's
that
insane.
congratulating her was just off the charts. I was like, oh my goodness, this is so toxic, you know? And
Yeah, it is. It's not good for us. I call it being addicted to busy, right? And the busier I am, the more I get to avoid myself, and the more I avoid me, the more of a mess I make over here, you know? And that's a problem. And I've been addicted to work. I've been addicted to sleeping. You know, I've been addicted to anything to avoid being uncomfortable, because that's ultimately what addiction is about. It's about avoiding being uncomfortable. I mean, kids who are addicted to video games, right? That is all about avoiding being, uncomfortable in life. You know, this instant gratification generation who needs a quick fix and needs it now. I mean, with the scrolling and the social media and all of that stuff, I mean, all of that is to avoid being uncomfortable, right? That is the number one thing that social media does, is the more you scroll, the less you're connected to who you are, right? It just takes you out. And yeah, it's and it doesn't have as much shame if it's video games, or if it's shopping, or if it's, or if it's work. People aren't ashamed of being addicted to work, right? But or being busy, right? But the truth is what are you avoiding? Like, one of the things I had to get really clear on is, because I felt uncomfortable as a mom, because being a mom is a thankless job, right? And it's tough, right? Like, you get to find out who you are when you become a parent on some level, right?
It's
And
not
it brings up,
only anxious. Your kids drag you for the dirt through the dirt, no matter what you
oh,
do with it for them.
totally. And they're never happy, and they're always got something to complain about. And then, tomorrow you got to do it all over again, right? So feeling like you're a good mom is not, it's actually shameful to feel like you're a good mom on some level, because it means you're conceited on some level, or you're full of yourself, you think too highly of yourself. But so we live in a culture that actually encourages feeling bad about yourself as a mom. And when I would feel bad about myself as a mom, I would get busy doing other stuff, right? Because I would do something that made me feel good, or do something that made me not think about what was going on. But I missed some stuff with my kids. I missed some opportunities with my kids because I was busy avoiding feeling uncomfortable, you know? And that's what happens a lot, with addiction. It's, if I avoid feeling uncomfortable by using, fill in the blank, right? What is it that I'm missing out on? And that's the hard piece to look at. That's where the regret shows up, right? And sometimes the shame shows up too,
Yeah, we practice a lot of forgiveness in our house. I mean, I've got young babies, they're 6 and 8, but they're so advanced, you know, they keep me on my toes. And my 6-year-old will literally take on anyone. She'll go up to strangers and put them in their place, you know. She's off the chart. And so
That's
we practice.
awesome.
Yeah, she's a force to be reckoned with, honestly. She thinks she's got real life magical powers like Elsa. She
Well, good for
yeah, I know, yeah, that's how I've brought them up. But you know, within that comes
her.
challenges, you know, because they're there speaking their mind and I'm speaking my mind, and things clash, don't they? And I think forgiveness of self and of others, and just learning how to be
It's
kind
huge.
and bringing through this unconditional love, which isn't like the wishy-washy stuff that you see in the movies. It's like, this may hurt and sting a little bit, but I'm going to be truthful with you. You know?
Well, and also, like, I mean, we live in a, this world is so divided, and it's like, if people don't agree with us exactly with what we say or what we believe, then they want to throw you off the end of a building. And it's like, at what point did we stop being tolerant of allowing other people to have ideas, or even opinions, or even experiences? And it even starts with our kids. It's like, my kids don't have to agree with me, right? They have to respect me, which is different, but they don't have to agree with me. And I actually encourage them not to agree with me, because it means they're thinking on their own, And that's what I we that's what we want is we want we don't want robots, right? We don't want kids that just do whatever they say and don't question anything, don't ask questions, don't have a different opinion. Like those are robots, and we've got enough of those on the planet right now. We want people who are willing to say, I don't agree with you, or I see that differently, or maybe it could look like this. And we've lost that ability in society at the moment to be tolerant of other people's ideas and opinions and beliefs, which is so sad on so many levels, that we have to use forgiveness versus tolerance, right? And and that's been it's been an issue for a long time, but it seems to be getting worse at the moment. But that's, but forgiveness is a huge piece in life,
Yeah, oh, definitely. It really is. And I think it makes a massive difference as well because you're not expecting your children, if we're still talking about children, to be absolutely perfect. It's okay to mess up, it's okay to make mistakes, it's okay to have big messy emotions as long as if you're lashing out at someone you apologize
Totally.
and yeah
Well,
we
and the more mistakes they make, the more they learn, right? Like, there's a lot of people who are just working on being perfect, and that's not really a thing. Like, that's a fantasy, right? But they're so terrified of making mistakes. They're so terrified of looking bad. They're so, I mean, I knew I was as a kid. I was terrified of looking bad. I was terrified of making mistakes as a kid. In high school or being a young adult, because I didn't want people to make fun of me. I didn't want to be humiliated. I didn't want, to deal with any of that stuff. And that transferred into my life for a long time of, trying to be perfect and trying to, please everybody at the same time, which created a tremendous amount of pain and drama and dishonesty in my own life. And it took me a long time to learn. It's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to be fallible. It's okay to look bad. Like, be willing to look bad. Every once in a while, it'll do you good. It's called humility, right?
Yeah.
And that was hard.
I'm not even sure I know what perfect looks like, to be honest. I kind of get a bit,
That's a no such thing.
but I kind of, I
No
don't
such
know,
thing.
whenever I see people online, with their perfect looks and their perfect Instagram feeds and stuff, I don't know, I just can't take it seriously because I'm just like, either you live in a completely different reality. Or it's completely made up and I
You're a
don't,
hot mess.
yeah, it's okay sometimes to like to
Yeah,
show
be a
how
mess.
you are. And the amount of times I like turn up with my cats in their lives or my kids in the lives or in my pajamas and I'm saying to people, just turn up with the lot into the live in your pajamas as you are, don't bother getting dressed.
Totally. Yeah. Who cares? Yeah. I mean, it's funny. I remember when social media first started, I was like, oh my God, well, I'm never going to post anything without like makeup on, right? And, or, without having taken a shower or something, right? And now it's like, I have no makeup on. Like, I did wash my hair today, just for you. But other than that, it's like, it trying to create this idea of not being human, right? And I think that the Instagram feeds that are, of people who don't really look like they live human lives are, they're probably a hot mess behind the scenes. And like, of course, they're working really hard to prove something that's not true,
And it must be exhausting as well. There's so many people who how I'd refer to it as working within the illusion of 3D. They're hustling. Everything that they've created in their world is amazing. There's
Right.
people around us who've created massive empires, worth like hundreds of millions of pounds, but at what cost, at what sacrifice? That, are they
Yes.
able to escape that reality? Are they able to pause? Are they able to take breaks and just go on holiday
Yeah.
for the week? You leave that corporate world, and all of us at some stage have had a stint in jobs, I would assume. You leave that corporate world because you don't want to work with those arseholes that you used to work with, and then you end up
That's
becoming
for sure.
one of those like tyrannical bosses, don't you? Do you know what I mean? It's like You've got to be really good at calling yourself out on your own bullshit, else otherwise you just merge into that corporate world that you left.
I mean, I totally agree with that. I mean, it's, I say to people all the time, or I say to kids all the time, because I work with teenagers and young adults as well. And I say, be careful which parent you hate more, because that's the one you're going to turn into, right? And because it is what happens. It's like the thing that we judge the most, eventually we become. And that's the hard part, right? And it's just the lesson. It's the journey that we're supposed to go on, right? Like my mother, oh my God, I could not stand her as a child. Like she was, my biggest enemy as far as I was concerned. And I would find myself being so much like her and hate myself for it. And what I realized was that was the journey of finding myself in a lot of ways. It wasn't that I was learning how to forgive her as much as it was learning how to be okay with who I was becoming, right? And just because she was my example, there were things about her I didn't understand. There were things about her I was judging, right? And whenever I'm judging you, it's trouble for me every time, right? And so, and today she's my biggest hero. She's one of my most favorite people in the world. And she's still flawed, and she still has things that, I wish she did differently, but she's a superhero in my eyes because of who she is and the way she operates, right? And but we don't always do that. We don't always get to the other side of judging somebody else, like a boss or or somebody that we have serious opinions about. We just become like them and don't even realize it. Most people can't see who they are at all.
Yeah. I love that. I love that. So, what kind of a journey did you go on with your mom to find that peace? So, like, can I ask?
It wasn't until I moved out of my mom's house and started to have my own life, that I really started to have a different understanding for her. But I think in the beginning, it was really just tolerating her. It wasn't until I got married, to my starter husband, and then ended up getting divorced and having little kids, that I actually had a real forgiveness for my mom. My parents got divorced when I was 16 years old, and my father was an alcoholic, so he didn't pay child support. He didn't provide for us. And my mom, she bought a house. She went to work every day. She wasn't available as much as like some other moms were, because she was a full-time working mom. And I had a lot of opinions about how she did stuff or how she didn't do stuff. And it wasn't until I was put in that position and on those levels of fear that she was put on, that I actually became, that I grew an understanding for what she went through, and all of a sudden had a tremendous amount of forgiveness and, compassion for who she was and the journey she went on, And that's usually how it happens. I mean, it's until I've walked a mile in your shoes, I won't really understand who you are. And kind of why I think that having a coach or having a therapist that's kind of been through what you've been through is so important, because it's so important to connect on that level of, you understand where I've been because you've been there too, right? And I think it's just, that's probably one of the most powerful things that connects us as human beings, is we all have similar feelings. We all have similar experiences, but there are certain people who have experienced trauma or have experienced pain the same way that we have, that are the only people on the planet that can help us heal from them, right? And it's important for us to find those people, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. And the other thing my team are just downloading to me at the moment is this kind of like we are programmed by stories, aren't we, as humans, like very much since the day we were born, but we're a product of all the stories. And for me, my trauma and going through my trauma and then being able to heal through that trauma enabled me to really get to the stage of like deep, deep gratitude for everything that I'd chosen to go through in this lifetime. And I think it's that level of gratitude that really helps you see the world differently. And so when I hear someone who's been through deep trauma, I'm like, wow, you're creating such an amazing story that people are going to be attracted to you based on your traumas that you've been through. Yet sometimes people can't really see that. They can't see the wood through the trees. They can't see the other side. They're stuck in their depression, their anxiety, their pain, and they can't see that everything that they've been given is actually a real beautiful gift of
I agree.
So it's quite interesting because it feels like you've been through the same path as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I do. I agree with that. Like, one of my biggest problems with traditional therapy is that it's almost like they baby trauma too much, right? And it's too negative. It's too heavy. I mean, there's some seriously heavy traumas out there that people need to recover from, and they need to go through a process on. But at some point in the game, or in the journey, it becomes a choice about what do I want to do with this information, right? What do I want to do about this experience? And I believe that our traumas are our journey, right? Like, every person on the planet has trauma of some kind, right? And trauma, the definition of trauma is something that causes a shift in who I am as a person, right? Like, every trauma that I had happen to me changed who I was as a person from that moment forward. Like, when I got married, that was a trauma as well. It was a good trauma, but it changed me from being a single person to being a couple, which and being a family, which was very different, right? And then to undo that was another trauma, right? And so these are all things that shifted who I was. But you go back, and I also have sexual assault trauma. I also have, violent trauma. I have all kinds of other trauma that changed who I was as a person to make me who I am, And at some point, we get to choose, do we want to, hide behind that trauma and use it as a shield to protect us from any kind of joy as well, right? Because when we protect ourselves from pain, we're also protecting ourselves from real joy, right? Or do I want to, develop this and turn it into a beautiful thing, which it can always turn into, right? Any kind of trauma, I believe, can turn into that. So.
Yeah, I agree. There's so many people who get stuck with the trauma work, with the shadow work, and I always say to them, I have done a lot of what you probably class as shadow work, and I've been to like the depths of my souls to collect soul shards and all this stuff. But and when I look back, probably didn't need to do as much as I did because now it gets to be effortless, and I think there's so many people sharing the narrative out there that, oh, this work is hard, and unless you've had like 10 well, I can't even remember what they call it, night of the soul or something, dark night of the soul, unless you've had like all these dark nights of the soul, and you've worked really hard, and you've done all these things, then you can't have healed that, your spiritual bypassing, and I get blamed. There's so much shit online. It's so funny. Like, I'm like, no. I've just chosen to not focus on the trauma, the deep trauma. I focus to on the expansion, to move in the light rather than just stay within the dark. And I think it is a choice. You choose where you do your
Totally.
work. And I think a lot of the collective sometimes get stuck in the stuff because they like to wear that badge of honor almost. Oh, this was hard for me.
I mean, it's a victim mentality of, this is what's happened to me, and this is why I don't have to be responsible for my happiness, my success, my behaviors, my anything, And it is hard. I was talking to a client yesterday who went through some horrific trauma as a kid, and sexual assault trauma as a kid, and she had an experience yesterday that brought the trauma back up, right? And she called me, and we had a conversation, and she was, just as emotional, as just as traumatized in the moment. And I said, they're just feelings. They're not going to hurt you. And I said, it's okay to let them out, right? Just let them out. I said, but they don't have to decide for you what happens next, right? And that's, I think that that's one of the things that happens when we talk about trauma, is people get so bogged down in the feelings of it, and they think that the feelings are the truth, right? And they're just feelings. They're an emotional response that is temporary, that if it comes up and out like puke, eventually you don't have to, it'll eventually stop coming up and coming out. And but it doesn't have to determine who you are, right? And it doesn't even have to determine how you look at that particular trauma. And I, and it's a process, right? It is definitely, it's funny. I love that term, spiritual bypassing, right? Because on some level, I don't believe that's possible, right? Like, it can look like we're trying to spiritually bypass something, but you cannot see something in a different way until you're absolutely supposed to see it in a different way, no matter how hard you try, And the shift will either happen or it won't. And for me, that's really all any of this is about, is changing the way I look at a situation that creates freedom, And sometimes that's easy, and sometimes that's not as easy, right? But it never happens before it's supposed to. My mom said to me when I was a kid, when I was having dating trauma, which was a whole other kind of trauma, I was like, nobody loves me, I'm never gonna get married, blah blah blah, whatever, And then I dated some people, and they all married the person they got together with right after me, right? And I was like, see, nobody loves me, And she said, Quincy, she said, the one thing you can't really do anything about is timing. She said, it's the one thing you can't do anything about, and when it's supposed to happen, it will happen. And I believe it, and it did. That's exactly what happened, right? And I just had to let go of the idea of trying to make stuff happen and just be in the moment that I was in. And that was, that's probably the hardest work there is trying to get people to just keep their head and their feet in the same place at the same time, right? Because we're, planning and scheming and doing all kinds of stuff and trying to, make stuff happen the way we want it to. And it's like, if I just show up and stay in the feet that I'm in right now, it all unfolds, I believe, as it's supposed to. Not predestined. Like, I don't believe that, my life is predestined or any of that, because we have free will. But I do believe that everything unfolds as it's supposed to, when it's supposed to. And and that brings comfort to me for sure.
I do as well. Whenever anyone asks me what's in my way, I usually say you.
I like that answer. Or me, what's in your way? Me, I'm always in my way, right?
Exactly.
Always.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah,
Always in your
I'm
way.
the only person that ever gets in my way, really. So.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah, I love the concept of unfolding. It's one of the things I find as well with when we work with our clients is getting them to just, we call it surrender. I don't know if you call it the same, but just be still, allow, make space, align, and then only take action when it feels 100% right. Using your body as a tool, obviously not from a fear point of view, but as a yes, this feels good. Because
Well,
it's
and learning how to decide what your body's telling you, right? Like, it's most people don't know how to read what their body is telling them, what their feelings are trying to tell them. I know for me, a lot of the work that I do with clients is helping them understand what their feelings are trying to tell them, right? And identifying what their feelings are. Like, I only had two feelings for a long time. I either wanted to have sex with you, or I wanted to punch you in the face. Like, those are the only two feelings I had for years, And so for me, learning how to identify what all those other feelings were was a journey in itself,
yeah, exactly. And we were never taught any of this, were we? Because the people
No.
that brought us into this world didn't know either. So I think it's only like our kind of generation that are actually starting to learn this stuff. Which is just fascinating, really. I find it all very, very fascinating.
Me
So
too.
where can people find you, Quincy, if they want to stalk your energy or find out more about you?
Absolutely. They can go to quincywharf.com. It's my website. It has all my coaching information on there, all my professional speaking information on there. It's Quincy WHORF.com. And yeah, and they can reach out and contact me there. And I love when people come and find me after I do these kinds of things. So it's you never know who the universe is going to bring to you as a result of doing these kind of conversations, which I just love. So thank you for giving me the opportunity to do that.
Oh, you're so welcome. Well, what we'll do is we'll make sure that all your links are on the bio when we post on YouTube and also on the podcast, and then it'll make things
Great.
super, super easy for people to find you. So are there any
Great.
kind of messages that you want to leave our viewers with before we wrap up?
My message for the world at this particular week, right? It seems to be the conversation I'm having a lot today, or these last couple of days, is be willing to be uncomfortable to find out who you are and where you're supposed to go next. It's so important to be okay with being uncomfortable. It's the discomfort is trying to show you something. It's trying to lead you somewhere, right? And if we don't pay attention to that discomfort, right, we end up taking roads we never should have gone on. And so be willing to be uncomfortable to find out who you are. So.
I love that. My team just want to add, I think at the moment there's a lot of things crumbling away as well. Things that you've been doing for a while may not feel like they give you that much fulfillment and joy anymore. And I think sometimes it's easy to carry on in the moment of just carrying on with them, because that's what you've
Yes.
always done. And it takes a lot of bravery and courage to say, you know what, this isn't my
This
thing
doesn't work.
anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, this doesn't work anymore. Yeah, I mean, I've done that a couple of times. That happened recently. That happened a lot in COVID, which is why I think people got so depressed, because they all of a sudden realized a lot of the stuff they were doing wasn't working for them prior to COVID, but they didn't know how to make it stop. And now all of a sudden they were all stopped and had to like sit and be with themselves, and they didn't know what to do with it. They couldn't wait to get back to the stuff that wasn't working because it was just comfortable and familiar. And I think a real disconnect happened when people started doing that stuff again. So just interesting.
Yeah, no, it is. COVID was definitely a catalyst. I talk about COVID a lot, actually, which is strange because I didn't talk about COVID when COVID happened, but now I'm like, that was such a beautiful catalyst for the whole of the collective.
I totally agree. I totally agree.
I actually really
So.
enjoyed COVID times, but that probably makes me sound really fucking weird.
No, I did too. Like I was super happy during COVID, and it was interesting, but it was such a transformational experience for all of us, whether we were aware of it or not, and I think that and even for the world, I mean, the world is still not the same since then. It may look the same in certain areas, but it there's something still really different that has happened as a result of that, which I mean, you and I never would have done this prior to COVID. So this is like one of the positives of COVID, right? Is that, I mean, we've been able to talk to people all over the world as a result of Zoom, because Zoom changed the world, right? The Zoom generation. And that's, I'm grateful for that kind of stuff for sure.
Oh yeah, definitely. Absolutely. Cool. Okay, I'm gonna thank our readers and listeners, and of course you, Quincy, for being here and sharing your wisdom with us. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Oh, you're
Thank
so
you so
welcome.
much. Great conversation.
Yeah, I'm gonna start record and then we can have a quick chat if you've got 5 minutes.
Absolutely.
Beautiful.